Hello, everyone. It's great to be here. Did you just look around the room this morning at the keynotes? Aside from some of us that went to the marches, there's so many women. Isn't it incredible? How was your first session? Good, good. Well, in the spirit of networking, I think this conference offers us an opportunity for some really meaningful connecting. And meaningful connecting starts with networking. And actually, when I was 21, I worked for Inc. magazine. Anyone heard of Inc.? I was at the Inc. 500 conference for the 500 fastest growing companies in America. And there was a keynote speaker. And he got up and shared a story of how a mugging incident led him to going into some of the toughest neighborhoods and schools in America and realizing children, especially kids in poverty, were not learning too much about business and how to make it in the market economy. And he had like three young women and a young man get up and tell their stories of entrepreneurship and how they were learning to read and to write and build and technology around their own small companies. And I sat there and my jaw just dropped, because here he was, and in the school that these kids went to, only one in 18 were graduating from high school. My father escaped to America when he was 18 without a dollar in his pocket. And he escaped from Hungary. And he taught me something about the American dream and opportunity. And then I realized this man is teaching young people how to build their own American dreams. And starting with the last four letters of the word American, which are, I can. So he changed my life. And I ended up going up to him, and I was like there with my camera, like, can I take a picture of you? And his speech about building this movement to teach entrepreneurship to low-income kids knocked me off my feet. And I just went up to him, and I said, hi, I'm Julie, can I take your picture? And I work at Inc. magazine, and da-da-da, but I really would like to volunteer. I'd like to help you build this. And he says a week later, I think it was actually 6 months later, I became the youngest executive director of Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, and for 20 years built, and we trained 650,000 kids in 12 countries. But it was seizing an opportunity, it was a conference, it was networking, it really changed my life. So I'm so glad, and I know Lisa and Brooke and Erica, we're also glad to be talking about this topic here at this conference, because there's never been a more important time for women to be networking, connecting, elevating each other, and leading. So we all talked before this day to plan, and we decided we wanted to kick this off with you having an opportunity to just meet two new people right here, right now. So with a room this size, it's going to be a little challenging, but what we want you to do is we just want you to find someone that you don't know. So if you're sitting next to your friend, okay, turn around. And we want you to share, okay, we're going to take 3 minutes on each question, so we kind of got to do this quickly. When I say kind of, all right, time's up, if you hear me, just hold your hand up, because some other people will still be talking, and then we'll all look at them, and we'll have our hand up. So just put your hand up, and then that will usually bring the crowd back. So the first question is something that you've already learned today that was profound to you. It could have been something Sheryl Sandberg said or Sean Acor, something that you learned or heard today that was already profound to you, a takeaway. So go ahead, take 3 minutes.
Well, of course, yeah. But no, we're in over 180 countries. No, you're absolutely right.
You know, it's not an age.
That's true. I have to keep telling myself that.
Yeah, you can think like modern.
That's right.
Right. I mean, Brooks Lebo is very. You know, I know
yes.
Caroline.
Yeah.
Appleteen.
I saw your best pictures in Davos too.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was with Caroline. How long have you been at Lebo?
I started in August.
Okay, great.
Still new.
Right.
But I was like really before. I was at General Assembly for 3 years.
Before. Right. I know Anna Lindau.
Okay.
There.
And then that's how.
Just take one more minute and switch if you haven't both shared. Okay. Hands up if you hear me. Oh my gosh, I've never been in a room. That was amazing. Either you guys were really boring or you guys just can totally multitask beautifully. Give yourselves a round of applause. I have to say, I am impressed. Okay. So what I want you to do now, I'm just curious, how many of you found that you had something in common and you articulated to each other a commonality in that session? Just raise your hands. It's always too short. And I'm doing a session at 3 today where you'll get 5 or 6 minutes. We're doing speed mentoring. So, all right, now, how many of you, just curious, I know, exchanged a business card with the person you just met, or quickly like wrote down some information so you could connect with them again? How many? Priya, you exchanged cards? All right, good, good. Sometimes that's as much time as you have with a person, okay? And I will bear testament because on some level, my thing is mentoring and elevating women, especially in the STEM fields and millennial retention through mentoring and sponsorship. I don't necessarily think I'm any rock star on networking, but I love it. But then as I was sitting here thinking about those 3 minutes, it reminded me, wait, I earned my stripes on networking, and I'm going to share this very quick story. I was driving in my car. At the time, I was running Nifty. You know, you have that really bad hair day. You're in your car. You leave at 5. You're just wiped out. Okay? And I was just... And I'd broken up out of a long-term relationship 2 months earlier. So it was a little bit of one of those times where seeing cute guys was kind of fun. It was just a sort of new hobby. Like, it's like you've been like this, and then all of a sudden, wow, he's handsome. But not suited for dating at all. But I was driving in my car, and I live in Washington, D.C. I was going down I Street towards 17th, and at a distance, I just saw this man standing there. Okay, this was 19, this was before, like, because on other circumstances, I'd probably be, like, texting and pretending I wasn't texting, and, you know, or I'd be on the phone, definitely, in my car. But it was kind of before that. So this beautiful man, I thought he was Italian, was standing there, and I'm in my car, and all of a sudden, traffic gets standstilled. There's no opportunity to meet. I mean, there's no opportunity to move. And he gets in his car, and then there's a couple cars in front of me. No one will let him in traffic. So he's sitting there, and I'm in my car, and I got inched up, because there was a bomb scare that day, May 27, 1997, the Morton's restaurant bomb scare. Someone called in, and I went like this. Like, go ahead in front of me. Like, no one's letting you in. Go ahead in front of me. And I just did one of those. And he kind of eked in to the middle lane. And if, again, if I was on my phone, if I had anyone else in the car, forget this. He unrolled his window to say hello. He said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Oh, I'm going home, you know, to walk the dog." And he's like, "What are you doing after that?" And I said, "Why? Is that an invitation?" He said, "Could be." So we're going to be together 20 years. So don't underestimate those two-minute chance meetings. Okay, but then it's how do you turn it from networking to meaningful connections? Networking sometimes is like skiing. You have to get up at like 6 in the morning. It's cold. It's dark. And actually, someone said this was like, I say it's about like networking, but other people say this is what like sex is like. But it's cold, it's dark, and you've got to like get out of bed, get dressed, get the skis on, have some hot cocoa, and then you're on the mountain. How are you feeling? You're feeling good. It's like you got out there, and now you're out there, and it feels good. You just sort of have to override yourself, override those fears of being in the cold, and get out and meet some neat people. So now we want you to do the same thing. And my friend Brooke over there had a very good question. This time, what is your goal? What is your goal or dream at being here at this Watermark Executive Women's Conference? So take another 3 minutes, new partner. Go ahead.
Oh my God, I love your story. You literally met.
Yeah, stuck in traffic during a bomb scare.
Yes, and then he came to your house?
No, what? we met out at Cactus Cantina, this Tex-Mex restaurant.
That's
like, so we just quickly decided to meet.
That's amazing, I love it.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah, that was wild. You never know.
I met the founder of Nifty.
Steve Mariotti.
Yeah, was that Steve?
Yeah.
That was on stage?
Yes.
And,
yeah. Yeah, I worked with him for 20 years.
Ago.
Oh, you did?
Maybe it was... I did something for the SEO program. Do you know that? Sponsors for Educational Opportunity. Another nonprofit.
That sounds a little familiar.
Yeah, I think Steve's spoken for that.
Did he do a good job?
Yeah.
I had dinner with him in New York, and then around Christmas time we had a lunch with some of the old gang that have sort of moved on and done new things. Yeah.
Now you're in D.C. and you do consulting mainly?
Right. Yeah, I have a company helping companies build mentoring cultures.
Right.
Okay, take one more minute. Take one more minute.
Focus on winding everything.
hands up if you can hear me. I've done different exercises. You are the best group by far. Give yourself another round of applause. So we have an amazing panel here to talk and bring different perspectives on networking. And really, when we come to this conference, there's a lot going on the stage. But some of the most important things are going on with you, towards your dreams, your goals, making new meaningful connections. And as women, how are we helping and elevating each other? And there's so much opportunity for that at this conference. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask each of our panelists, starting with Erica, to just tell you a little bit about them, their stories. And then we're going to kind of focus into some nuts and bolts on networking.
Great.
Erica.
Thank you. So my name is Erica. I'm the CEO of Cotential, which is a firm that helps maximize collaboration in companies, and author of a book on a concept called connectional intelligence. But I'll give you a little background. I grew up in a family of all immigrants. My parents came from India. So checking all the boxes of success was my goal in life. I got 3 Ivy League degrees. I worked on Wall Street in my 20s. I worked through the Lehman Brothers crisis at Lehman Brothers. So talk about learning through disruption. And what I realized over that period is I was checking all the boxes of success, but I wasn't truly happy at all. It felt like I had to do more, and it was really about achievement. And it was really after having gone through the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy that I really said to myself, I was facing, you know, disillusionment, burnout, and I really asked myself, what do I really connect with? What excites me? And how can I live into that? And I realized that it wasn't just me. I'm in the edge of the millennial and Gen X generation. It was all of us. We were all trying better ways in this, what I believe is an over-connected world now. We're not just connected, we're over-connected, an inundated world. How do we sift through the noise of social, of technology, of massive amounts of people to get big things done, to do things in meaningful ways? And that led to a soul-searching journey a bit. I did my graduate work at Harvard and MIT. I stayed on as a researcher at Harvard and spent a series of years looking at what was the differentiation between how leaders were able to get big things done, not in the past, like all those books written, but in today's hyper-connected, over-connected world. What was the skill set they had? And what I saw was that there was one key skill set that they had underneath all of the stories that are in my book, and that was this idea of it wasn't about networking more. It was this key skill of how they use their networks once they have them. So it's not about the quantity of connecting with more people today. It's about the quality of making a smart connection, but being able to follow up, drive a sustained change, give to that network over a long period of time that really drives change. And that led me to co-authoring the foremost book on a concept I call connectional intelligence. So if you think about what emotional intelligence was in the 90s, think of this as the modern day skill set of how we strategically leverage our networks in an over-connected world. So it's not the networking act of getting more connections. It's the skill set of how we leverage those networks, whether it's a digital network, a team, a group of peers in our company, a customer network, a network that we meet at Watermark, and actually sustain those relationships to drive the change that we're trying to achieve. And that led to not only writing a book, but building a movement and starting a company that's now helping companies create the modern day Six Sigma for collaboration and inclusion. So that's a little bit about my story. It all started with wanting to overachieve and prove myself to my father.
Okay, we'll have to get a little deeper on
that. That's a little another story.
I can relate to that one. Thank you. And you have your books here, right?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Get Big Things Done in the book
get
signing.
Get Big Things Done.
Yep.
And when did it come out, by the way? It
came out in February 2015.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Such an important topic. Lisa, let's love to hear from you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Lisa Smith-Struther, and my title is the Global Head of Employer Branding and Diversity Talent Acquisition, and that's at Ericsson. And Ericsson is a global ICT company. We've been in business for over 145 years. building networks deep in the Amazon, to mega cities and to countries as well. So large company, over 110,000 employees. And I guess if I were to say what my story is, I have been working at Ericsson for just about 3 years, and I have a global role, so I'm happy to have members in the States, here in Silicon Valley, in Texas, and soon to have someone in the APAC region as well. And I've always been doing marketing. So prior to Ericsson in the employer brand, or what you would consider like an HR talent acquisition field, I was doing marketing for financial services. A number of years I was at American Express, at NatWest Bank, at Bancorp Bank, doing all areas of marketing, and including ethnic marketing as well. And I was doing marketing for close to 20 years, quite happy in that field, and I was called out of blue by someone who was quite adept at networking, because I really wasn't looking for a role. And at the time, it wasn't at for me to be working at Ericsson. It was with AstraZeneca. I don't know if you all are familiar with pharmaceutical firms. And what they were looking for was someone who was really a professional in marketing, quite successful in that field. And they were looking to establish a recruitment marketing department. So I happily took that on. It was a great opportunity for me as well, and it enabled me to stay in the marketing arena, which is what I truly love. And what I found is that whether I was really trying to, say, target a high affluent person and tell them about an investment product, it was quite similar if you're trying to target a talented woman who is a software developer for the ICT arena. So a wonderful transition. And then from AstraZeneca, I moved on to Ericsson. And as I've said, I've been with Ericsson for 3 years. So when I think about networking, as I said, my role is global, right? So Ericsson operates in over 180 countries. And with it being global, I don't actually work or in any of any Ericsson's campuses. I work from home in good old Wilmington, Delaware. And having a global role, that obviously shows you the flexibility and the culture that Ericsson allows you to have to really sort of capitalize on your ambition and your passion. But it also challenges me from a networking perspective to not be able to go into a campus and work with my great team and to have face-to-face with them. So obviously video conferences are great, but it does really encourage me to sort of think out of the box when it comes to networking, to make sure that when I'm talking to my team and video conferencing that I'm not doing two things at one time, right? That I'm really focused on them. And in addition to that, it encourages me to go outside of the house. I mean, obviously I can walk my dog, you know, throughout the development throughout the day to get a change, but it's helpful and healthy to go out, whether it's the library or to restaurants or to Starbucks or whatever, just to sort of get out and about and to engage with other people, to have that face-to-face. And lastly, I'm somewhat introverted. So when I think about networking, I think about how can I sort of assume my self-assured, sort of confident persona, at least so in a moment, and how do I engage with networking. So there, you know, I sort of embrace some mantras that I have, and maybe I could share that with you. But in addition to that, I look at other tactics, and I think of the word win. So when I'm talking to people, where do I work for W? What's my hobby for H? You know, what's my education? And then how do I network? How can I bring information to them? And how can, you know, they help me? Because it's a mutual relationship. It's about personal enrichment. So that's a little bit about me and about networking.
Great, thank you. Just curious, Lisa, when you moved to AstraZeneca, did you have, championed you? Like, did you have a champion?
I did have a champion.
Like, who knew you professionally and championed you to that next big leadership role?
I always have had a mentor, and he's a nice gentleman in his mid-70s and has always challenged me to go outside of my comfort zone and to bounce off things. But as far as to having a champion, I mean, once I got to AstraZeneca, I certainly had a champion in my manager. I mean, she was incredible. And I would say that the recruiter that brought me on became a champion, because I really applaud her, because me not having any HR experience whatsoever, she recognized the need to have a marketing expert in that field. And when you think about what the industry is doing now, and particularly employer brand, recruitment marketing, candidate attraction, a lot of the people are coming from the marketing scope. So I would say that's somewhat of a champion.
Yeah. So you're building and networking with recruiters and networking with people that become mentors, like this gentleman.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us one or two of your mantras? Can you tell us one or two?
Oh, I can tell you. If anyone knows anything about me, they know I'm a huge fan of Disney. I'm a Disney Vacation Club member. I used to go every year. But I've even gone to the Disney Institute, which is fabulous. I would encourage all of you to have that experience. But I think about the Winnie the Pooh, right? What Christopher Robin told Winnie the Pooh. So many of you might be nodding and recognize this. So it's always, you are braver than you believe, right? Smarter than you think, and stronger than you seem. And I say that to myself often, you know, as I'm preparing to do things just as this.
Love that. I love that. Brooke. And Brooke, Brooke had the idea of a goal that you have in this conference. So Brooke, I'm also curious if you have a goal, a special goal or a dream for this conference too.
My goal or dream for this conference, I'm excited to be here and to be speaking on this. So this is a really big step for me to be doing this. So I'm so appreciative of being here. So this has been one of my goals for a long time, is to, you know, speak on a panel and start working on my own thought leadership and my own public speaking. So this has been a huge step in and of itself, so I'm thrilled to be here. A little bit about me, I am the Director of Community and Events at Labo League. Drop the league, we're now Labo. And if, for those of you who are unfamiliar with what Labo is, we are a community and a platform dedicated to elevating careers. So we have a really incredible online platform where you can create a story, kind of tell your story your way through beautiful pictures. And then also online courses, incredible content, mentors. Erica has been featured on Labo many times. And then we have our offline community, which is our local Labo, which takes place in 30 chapters around the world. And I have the opportunity to work with our local leaders on the ground, which are really our brand ambassadors, who are putting on these incredible events for, you know, women in the community to help them create those meaningful experiences with one another. Prior to Labo, I kind of got the bulk of my community and events and networking, boot camp or training. I was at General Assembly for about 3 years, working to expand our footprint in San Francisco, and, you know, really focusing on events and networking events to bring in potential new students for their core offerings, which are mainly in-person and in-person courses. So through that, I held probably a couple hundred events in my time there, so really could see, you know, the different things of what to do, what not to do, how are people really connecting, what is the pulse of the community, what does a strong connection look like, and kind of seeing like what types of topics and what worked and what didn't work. What was really helpful for me there was, when I think about networking, I think about every single thing that I've done has been because of someone in my network. Every opportunity that I've had up until this point, including where I am at Labo, has been because of someone that I've met along the way, who's seen something, who's wanted to help. And so I think it's, you know, really important when someone is asking you at a networking event, or you're just meeting organically, you know, what it is that you want next, or what are you looking for you to take that time to really know what it is that you want. Because people, I think at the core of everyone, really want to help each other. So know that answer and do that reflection on your own before you do anything. And I think that can go a long way. So that's kind of the area that I'm coming from, and where I really think about networking, and I can see the value in, and I've seen, you know, proven role after role that I've taken, and the opportunities that have come my way.
Great, thank you. And I think that's so important. What we were talking about earlier was how you can build the community that you want to network in.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And your role in doing that's really, really neat.
Absolutely.
So I think what might be neat, we've got probably about 250, I want to say, I don't, a couple of men, 250 women and men. Men, thank you for coming. Can we just give a... I loved Grace Kalia. Did anyone go to Grace's session? Yeah. So Grace said an amazing thing. She said women, you know, the old Chinese proverb is that women hold up half the sky. And she said men are partners and allies. They hold up the other half of the sky. And interesting story about Grace is that I heard about Grace and her book, and I reached out to her on LinkedIn. And we, you know, I just kind of... I reached out to her and I said, you know, I jumped off a cliff. I started my own company focusing on building mentoring cultures and elevating women in STEM fields and millennial retention. And I really would love to talk with you how you've built your practice, your speaking. And she said, absolutely. So we had this amazing conversation. We just met on the phone. We, you know, connected on LinkedIn, met on the phone. And the next thing... she's telling me about speaking here at the Watermark Executive Women's Conference. And I said, Grace, that sounds amazing. I'd love to come and hear you speak. She goes, actually, you should speak too. And thank you, Grace. So I'm here because of Grace Kalia and her work and her connection to Watermark, you can see. And I know it's, and I got the opportunity to go downstairs at 10 a.m. and thank her. And she's doing another session at 3. So we want to think about you for a minute, and you know, we have 250, maybe 300 people in this room, and maybe start with you, Lisa. We want to, like, what would be some recommendations for them being here at this conference to really benefit? There's like 7,500 or 6,500 attendees here, and how to really create some meaningful networks and connections here today. So I think we just want to help you help brainstorm and think about that, and maybe start with Lisa and then Erica and then Brooke.
Sure. I would say, and this may appear obvious, but I would say listen, because when if you were to ask someone sort of what are the key tools of success for networking, it's listening. It's hearing what people are sharing with you, what they're seeking, and then perhaps maybe you can share with them as for and assist them, because ultimately that's the crux of what networking is. It's establishing a mutually beneficial relationship. It's learning what the person that you've established this relationship with, what their needs are, and you doing the same, and then helping to solve each other's questions and really come up with some solutions. In addition to that, it would be really an opportunity to learn as much as you can and take as many notes as you can, and think about sort of what you can, based on what you're learning, how you can apply that in your everyday work, or how that can improve you from a personal enrichment perspective. Because again, when I think of all of the valuable information that's being shared here, it's whether you have a tape recorder or you're taking notes, it's about how can you use that when you get back to your office or back to home, so that you don't, you know, so that you don't lose it. And other than that, you know, it's just enjoy the moment and make sure that you are sharing this across social media, because if anything, that really helps with your thought leadership and your personal brand. If people are seeing that you're here and you're sharing some quotes that you have heard, if you're talking, you know, quite authentically about what you've learned and you put that on social media, other people are learning from you, and that also really conveys the fact that you're in a very attractive conference where people are learning and really have the desire to improve themselves and for personal enrichment.
Great. Thank you. And just by the way, does everyone know the hashtag? The Twitter hashtag for this conference?
Watermark.com.
Watermark, C-O-N-F. So you actually can be part of a smaller community of people here all day long who will be tweeting using the hashtag Watermark, C-O-N-F okay? And then you also can connect with people as well that are here and what they're talking about, or you might have some some shared interest, and you'll learn what's happening in other sessions too, if you just go by that hashtag. Erica.
Yeah, so I'm going to be, my personal take is really networking exhausts me. It's really tiring because I think we're overconnected. We have too many connections. And the key skill set is not to connect with more people. It's to connect smart around the issues that you care about and find out who else cares about what you care about so you can create change together. So personally, I actually think networking is also not a one-day event. It's a daily behavior. So really what's going to come out of this conference, and you exhibit this beautifully, is not who you meet. It's who you stay in touch with. It's who you follow up with and keep giving to for the next year, 2 years, 10 years. Maybe, you'll find a business partner here. But that's not going to come out of today. That's going to come out of your hustle and your strategic skill of being able to cultivate your network over time. So the first thing is, it's not a one-day event. And think about how you can make it work for you. So I love, for example, Twitter and using tools and sharing your ideas. But how can you make it intentional for you? So if you're passionate about data science and you want to find other people that care about data science here, instead of just sharing the insights of what I'm saying, maybe use the watermark CONF hashtag and say, who wants to talk about data science? I'm hosting a little gathering from 3 to 4 today outside in the lobby. Let's talk. So you can find the people that care about the things that you care about. I would encourage you to really think about, what do you care about, who are you trying to meet, and how could you design a way to find those like-minded people. Don't exhaust yourself by getting 50 connections that are one-off and feel transactional. Be authentic. And then the third thing I'll share is, I think some of my best networks and connections have come in surprising ways. It wasn't I do this and you do this, and let's help each other. It was, we met in the bathroom and we were laughing about how long the line was. Or, one of my first clients I got out of teaching her how to do a Bollywood dance move, because Bollywood dancing is one of my passions. If any of you were at my last session, we got 500 people in the room dancing. But what's that creative connection that you can make that's unexpected and different, whether it's you're both from the same hometown or you both love golfing, whatever it is. Make it work for you. Find unexpected ways to do it. Don't follow the herd, because actually those unexpected ways will be your path to making the long-term connections that really matter. That's it.
Great. Thank you. I'm almost tempted to ask Erica if she could just show us real quick the Bollywood move.
Oh, no. We'll do that later.
Okay, can we?
But I won't show it. We're all going to
Can we do
together.
That? Can we close out with the Bollywood move?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Everyone in? Okay.
Brooke. I agree with you, Erica. I think networking can definitely be exhausting, and we don't need more, more, more. It is a mindset, and I don't think you necessarily need to be in networking mode to make it work for you. Be authentic, look around, talk to people. You have two prompts that we gave you at the beginning of this session for you to kind of talk to people that are out there today. And it doesn't need to be weird, it doesn't need to be awkward. These are things that we're all talking about, like what are your goals and what are some key takeaways that you've had from today. And I think those are two really great ways to start a conversation with someone, because we are all here together. We all maybe got something different out of a different session. So I think really come from a place that is genuine and not seeking out people like, okay, what can this person do for me? Why, like, I'm gonna go talk to this person, this person, this person. But just be really mindful about, why am I doing this? Why am I here? How can it work for me? And I think coming from a genuine place and being really authentic in that will go a very long way.
Erica, I want to go back to something that you were talking about and maybe ask you if you can talk a little bit, because as you said, it doesn't become a meaningful connection if it's just going to an event, exchanging business cards, and there's not follow-up and follow-through. So I think let's talk a little bit about, you do find people that are interested in the same niche, or you have a meetup, and you come together, And there are, everyone's excited at that moment to meet or connect. But let's talk a little bit about some follow-up strategies and how important that is.
Yeah, I think that follow-up is the networking. So how many people have gone to conferences where they got 20 business cards and then never engaged with them afterwards? We've all been there. Or you give them your card and you never hear from them. Because networking can be exhausting unless you're strategic about it. So a couple follow-up strategies. Number one is when you're talking to that person, obviously write down on their card, what do they care about? And then think of one thing you could do within 24 hours to help them. It could be as simple as, I saw this interesting article, or let me know next time you're in New York, I'm happy to give you tips on how to write a book, or whatever it is. Think about what's an immediate action that you can take to give to that other person. And I truly believe in following up within 24 hours. Sometimes it doesn't always happen, but within an immediate time frame, because as I mentioned, we're overconnected. The second thing is that if you find people that care about the same things as you, how can you immediately become the connector of people to other people? So if you care about data science and you host and you find 10 other people at this conference of thousands that want to meet and talk, could you turn that into a data science meetup or group? Could you connect quarterly by phone or by Google Hangout or by Skype and share information with each other? How could you become the connector of others so that when you're meeting new people, you have something to offer to be the web of introducing other people to other people in the same time that you're building a relationship with them? So those are just two immediate things I would encourage. And don't do it for the sake of it. Do it around things you care about. So, you know, whether that's a hobby or an interest or something that's specific for your business.
Great. Excellent points. Excellent points. I heard, Erica, that 86% of it, this is a sales analogy, but that 86% of sales happen on like the sixth to seventh try.
Yeah.
And so many people meet someone or want to connect and they reach out to them and they don't hear back. Or the person you exchange cards, and you write to someone, and you're excited, and you don't hear back from them. And we often recommend, just think like that person is at a red light.
Yeah.
They're in their car, they're at a red light, they look down, there's your note, there's your email, and lights turn green, the phone's dropped on the passenger seat. They have every good intention of getting back to you, but then life gets in the way, the dog has to be fed and they're just dealing with, you know, the yoga class, everything. They have now forgotten about your email. And it's not that they don't want to connect.
Right.
But knowing that we might have to hope my email didn't slip through the cracks or find other ways to reach out. And I have to do a better job myself of like picking up the phone with people that where you're building these more warm and meaningful connections.
Yeah. And also, it's how you strategically use people's time. So be prepared when they actually follow up and allow you to have a 30-minute call to get to know each other and have a discussion. Send your questions in advance. You know, read their book before you talk to them. Know what you're going to say and always ask them at the end, is there any way I can help you? Or is there anything you're looking for or anyone I can introduce you to? Make sure that you always ask that question back as well. And really flip networking into, this is going to take so much more time, to how can this help you save your time by doing it in smarter ways.
Lisa, what do you think about sort of follow up and building these more meaningful connections?
I agree with everything that Erica said. I certainly see the importance of follow up because, again, I think that's a reflection of your brand and your commitment. I mean, if you're going to say that you're going to follow up and then you don't do that, then obviously that doesn't reflect favorably on you.
Good point.
But it's very important to follow up. I like the idea about sort of sharing your passion. So once you understand what their interests and passions are, and if you're able to engage with them and be able to provide them with more information relative to that, to add value, I mean, that's certainly significant. Because why would they not want to continue, you know, this sort of mutually beneficial relationship with you? So no, I agree 100% with everything that has been said.
Great. Thank you. Brooke,
What are your thoughts? I also agree with everything you guys said. So I think, yes, follow-up is key. We have definitely all been guilty of getting a card and doing nothing with it, and then you find it in the bottom of your bag, and you're like, at this point, I don't remember who this person was. So make those notes, reference the conversation when you follow up with them the next day, hopefully within 24 hours, and, you know, really kind of take that next step. Keep in mind how you can help them, know how you can help them, and, you know, get down to just, I think reaching out is the number one thing you can do. That it's an obvious, but so few of us do it, and just get over that hurdle and then see what happens.
I have a question for you all. Why is LinkedIn probably the most important database that you have? Why would LinkedIn, meeting people, why is LinkedIn probably your best database?
Sure.
Go ahead. Thank you.
So my name is Viola Olienka, and I'm at Twilio.
Hi,
Viola. LinkedIn is most useful for me is I don't always have an immediate ask, but I'd love to stay connected to this person. And so I usually use LinkedIn as a point of reference. So when I do have an ask, I could refer to that person at a later date.
Great. So you've met someone, you've connected at a conference, and then you kind of want to be able to sort of follow this person's career, stay connected with them. So you reach out to them on LinkedIn to connect with you?
That, yes. But usually it's, I strategically would love to stay connected to this person.
Yeah.
I might not have an in-moment ask, but maybe down the line I will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. How many of you get people actually just inviting you onto LinkedIn and then you don't hear from them? It's so there's an opportunity for more meaningful connecting. There's an opportunity there that a lot of people are reaching out and inviting us to connect. And if we see, you know, if I see I've got 40 friends in common, sure, you know, or oh yeah, but when there's a personal note, we met at the Watermark conference, and like it warms my heart. Oh my gosh, that's so nice. They're reaching out. They actually wrote something, or you know, but what's amazing is, let's say, Viola? Okay, let's see, I meet Viola here. And we exchange business cards. Okay? And Viola, what company do you work for?
Twilio.
Okay, she's at Twilio. And we have things in common. There's reasons we want to connect. And we've exchanged cards. So now, it's a year later, and I hear about this opportunity that just aligns with something personally or professionally that Viola shared with me. Okay? I pull out my computer and I email her at Twilio. This is a scenario. She's no longer there. How on earth am I going to find Viola again? Okay? Now, on LinkedIn, people, you can actually export your entire database into an Excel or CSV file and source it by companies, by names. So if Viola now is working at, you know, another company, okay, now she's working for LinkedIn. If she's there, I will actually have her most up-to-date personal or professional email. So it's very easy for me then to find her again. And for many of us in Washington, D.C., we change jobs every 2 years. And for millennials, also, there's a lot of movement, 18 to 36 months on average. So it gives a way where you will always have the person's, you know, 95% of the time, their correct email. So I'm going to open it up. Yes?
Just one other thing. I teach LinkedIn. I'm at Santa Clara University.
What's your name?
Sunana.
Sunana. Great.
And this is a great panel that you have. But 89% of hiring managers use LinkedIn to hire.
89% of hiring managers use LinkedIn. And you got it. We all need to be out there on LinkedIn.
And they should be using Levo League as well, which is also an amazing recruiting platform.
Yes, you can build a beautiful a beautiful profile with photos. You can create albums. You can tell your story the way you want to tell it. You can list your professional experience, your hobbies.
For recruiters to find you and corporate company mm-hmm. HR leaders
yes,
to find you?
Yes, anyone can look at it.
Great.
You can connect with people who are in your cities. You can find local communities, so you can actually have that in-person connection. In the cities that we do have local labo, you'll soon be able to have conversations on the platform. So, yeah, that's another really great option.
Great. Well, we have 6 minutes left, so we are now completely open for if you have a question, you can go up to the two mics and just direct it to any of our wonderful panelists. Yeah? And please introduce yourself, too.
Hi, my name is Diane McGrath, and I don't necessarily have a question. It's more a statement, especially for the millennials among you. You know, as you're going through life, you know, some of your best network will be those people that you've met along the way that have become your friends, and you never know where they're going to end up. You know, some of the people that I know from business school have ended up in very high places, and, you know, people scattered around the globe, but I made a conscious effort to stay in touch with some of these people. And, you know, one of them turns out today to be Theresa May, the UK PM's right-hand man. So you know, people that you're interested in, that you feel that connection with, you know, just try to keep in touch with them, you know, when you're in the country, or just send them a quick email or tell them happy birthday or whatever, so that when you need that network, it's available. Because it's not about just needing the network when it's there. So for the millennials, I, you know, from my business school, I take a lot of calls. I'll take any call from anyone who went to my school, you know, and I will always try to get back to people. And a lot of those people tell me that they'll let me know where they landed or what they're doing and everything, and it is a very, very small percentage of people that do. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage you that if you make those connections, just, you know, try to keep them, because you might not need them today, but you might need them another time.
Great. And one thing I want to say, just getting up and being the first person to, and Viola as well, to just get up and having something meaningful that you want to share, it just gave all of us an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. So now, you know, 300 people know you here at the conference, know you a little bit, or where you, what you're all about, what your interests are. So during the conference, if anyone, you know, bump into Viola, or bump into, sorry, your first name is Diane, you might say, hey, you know, you were saying with your work in universities, I also work in a university, and have points of commonality. So that's great, neat that you come up and ask a question. I'm going to turn it over to you now.
Great. Thank you so much. My name is Ting Ni, and I'm a business immigration attorney with Pearl Law Group. Thank you guys so much for sharing your strategies on how to follow up with networking. It's definitely something that I found personally challenging, especially with so much to do each day. But I was wondering if you could share some insights on how to use your networks already. So I have like 500 plus connections on LinkedIn, but I don't really use it. I mean, my clients would add me here and there. So it's out there, and I have this intention to network more. How do I do it?
Who'd like to take that question?
I can take a stab at it. I think, I, too, have so many LinkedIn connections and also feel that. Sometimes I'm like, who are these people? I don't know at what point they came into my life. Maybe it was when I recruited however many years ago. But I think, you know, looking at those connections, kind of doing research in the areas that maybe you're trying to get to, or if there's a goal that you have set or an end goal that you have, doing research into that network, I mean, it is going to probably be pretty gritty, and you're going to have to get down there while you're filtering through however many hundreds of connections. But I think doing that work up front to kind of see what's out there, and then, you know, send a message and, like, start that actual conversation. Again, it's not going to maybe turn into something overnight, but come from a place of, like, hi, reference where you met, how it happened, where the connection came from, if it's someone that you do know or remember. And, you know, really start that conversation from the beginning again if it's gone away for a while, and then start it and let that relationship grow organically, because it's going to take a little bit of time and love and care to maybe get to a point where, you know, you maybe like there is a big ask you want to get to, but I think kind of filtering through all the noise of what's actually in there will take some time, but can prove to be a tremendous help in the long run.
Just to add to that, I think personally, I get really annoyed when people on LinkedIn just say, I'd love to just schedule a phone call and don't give a purpose. Because I'm just so busy, I'm trying to keep up with my life, right? If there's a purpose and I see a common intention, I'm like, yes, let's talk about how we can get you hired or get you to do that goal that you're trying to achieve. So I think this goes back to the FOMO craze. Like, we don't have to connect with people unless there's a meaningful purpose. It's okay. Maybe instead you blog on LinkedIn once a month, you write an interesting blog, and you just give to your community that you're connected to. All your connections will be able to see that blog. I would say strategically connect when it matters, when there's like-minded interest. And in the meantime, give back to them. Don't waste anyone's time unless there's something meaningful. And that doesn't, I don't want to say don't miss out on the serendipity of just having a conversation. That's great. But again, in the lines of our over-connected world, don't feel like you have to connect more. I truly believe that it's those 25 people that, so we've been talking a lot about your broad network, your LinkedIn, 5,000 contacts, right? That's great to have a strong weak network, but the real power comes from your strong network. So I would encourage you to focus in your role right now more on that and let go of the need to have lots of connections with your weak network until there's a meaningful purpose.
Great. Thank you guys so much.
We've run out of time. I'm going to really, really quickly, if you could just ask your question really quickly and one of us respond, and then we're going to wrap up with a Bollywood move.
Can I just follow up real quickly on what Erica said? I think it's really important to your point about really narrowing your audience, that be really also be intentional when you do posts, be mindful of what you're saying, and then also look at who's responding to that, who's reaching out as a result of that, because that I think is a reflection of some symmetry as far as what you're trying to convey to reflect your interest and how they meet.
Great point.
Because I'm between you and the Bollywood dance, let me make this quick. My name is Armin Matensian, and I'm from High Tech right here in Silicon Valley from Synopsys. And my goal and my mission is to follow up with maybe all of you. We're trying to start up a mentorship program, intergenerational, for lack of better words, from people, women in industry working with high school kids, trying to get them excited about STEM programs. I took a stab at this at IBM a long time ago, but times have changed. Young ones think differently, talk differently, write differently. So can I talk with some of you? I know there's another session coming up just for some ideas. I will definitely connect with all four of you in LinkedIn.
Sure, and we're going to do a big focus at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. on mentoring and sponsorship. And sponsorship and co-sponsorship is a game changer for women. A mentor is someone who speaks to you and advises you. A sponsor is someone who champions you behind closed doors. So a mentor speaks to you, a sponsor speaks about you. And we're going to really focus on that at 3 p.m. in the Grand Grand Ballroom. So let's close out. Close this out, Erica?
Well, if you're courageous, make unexpected connections. Do crazy things. Get up. Everyone stand up. And I'm going to show you one move on the count of three. One, two, three, to this side. Five, six, seven, to this side. Use your connectional intelligence. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Nice. It was wonderful having you. Thank you.